your way here on KBOO. Thanks for listening.
KBOO is getting ready for our annual book and record sale.
This is a great time to clean out those closets and shelves and turn your old books, records, and CDs into cash for community radio.
Bring them to KBOO Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. till 7 p.m.
We are accepting donations of books, vinyl records, CDs, and DVDs through Saturday, December 14th. The sale will be held on December 21st. Stay tuned for details.
Your unwanted books, records, and DVDs are treasure to someone else. Help them find new homes while raising money for our community radio station, KBOO.
If you have questions or want to arrange for a pickup of donations, please email volunteer@kboo.org or call 503-231-8032, extension 213.
I've never been one to take a handout. I still have too much pride to stand on an intersection or a corner or in a driveway with a sign and ask somebody to help me.
Meet Amy, a homeless person in Corvallis, Oregon. To hear more about her life and what it's like to be homeless, come on over to Local Folks Podcast, Helping the Homeless, for episode 2. You can find Local Folks at kboo.fm. Go to audio, podcasts, and click on Local Folks.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is now 9:02. Up next is The Radio Activist. Good morning. Good morning, all. This is Rochelle Dixon with The Radio Activist, and I am happy to be on air today. There is something that is on my mind, as I'm sure it's on a lot of folks' mind. First of all, I want to say that we're coming up on what a lot of people think of as a holiday, Thanksgiving. And I don't actually call it Thanksgiving. I call it Takesgiving to bring a little humor to it. But there's actually nothing very funny about the celebration of genocide and indigenous people. And so if you don't know the roots of Thanksgiving, I certainly hope that you take an opportunity to look into the roots of Thanksgiving and what really happened. Of course, there's one story that we were taught as children, and now it's time to kind of put away those childish things and to understand what really happened and how the genocide was started. So I'll encourage you to do that. And today we're going to talk about justice. That's what I always want to talk about. And we're going to talk about it specifically concerning Portland parks, racism, and classism. So when we think of parks, we oftentimes think of open spaces and equal opportunity to everyone. I'm going to give you the KBOO number because I really want you to call in and give me your opinion on this. So the number to call in is 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. So call in, give me your thoughts on this. So Portland parks. Any park, we typically think of it as being an open space that's available to everyone and equally serving the public. I'm not sure that that's ever been the case for Portland parks, and it is most definitely not the case today. So I live in a neighborhood, it's a nice neighborhood, and one of the parks that's near me is very problematic. I think it's been around since 1954, and the land was gifted to the city of Portland. So the name of the park, get ready for this, is Custer Park. Now let me spell that for you in case you're not sure what I just said. I have had a lot of people doubt what I'm about to tell you. Custer, C-U-S-T-E-R. Does that name sound familiar? Does it sound familiar? It should sound familiar, because when I say Custer Park, I am, of course, talking about General Armstrong Custer. If you went to school anywhere in the U.S., you're probably familiar with that name. You're probably familiar with the battles, the struggles, and what he is responsible for. General Custer was a proponent of racism, classism, indigenous genocide, slavery, you name it. So I'm not sure why in Portland we have a park named after General Armstrong Custer. If anyone has any thoughts on why that might be an appropriate name for General Custer, if they know anything about ties to Oregon, please give in, please call in 503-231-8187 and share that information with me. As far as I know, and the research that I have conducted shows that General Custer has no ties to Oregon, never has. Having said that, I personally think even if General Custer had ties to Oregon or to Portland, it would be a good time to remove General Custer's name from the park. What are your thoughts? Give me a call at 503-231-8187. As a household with folks that are part indigenous, and when I say part, I'm going along with blood quantum, which I actually don't agree with. Either you have an indigenous background or you don't. I have an indigenous background. Custer Park is insulting to me. It is insulting to the indigenous community, and it actually is insulting to everyone who lives here and calls himself a progressive who wants to see equality for other folks. Do you think it's an appropriate name to have a person responsible for genocide and what was called the Indian Wars, brutal Indian Wars? Do you think that name is a good name for a park in Portland, which calls itself progressive? Again, the number to call is 503-231-8187. And so that discussion on Custer Park, there's actually a petition to change the name of Custer Park that I started some months ago. It's on change.org if you want to go take a look and sign it. Over 500 of you have already signed it, so thank you if you've done that. If you haven't done it, you might want to go take a look at it. I suggested a name change for the park, but to be truthful with you, I just care that it's not named Custer. I mean, what are some other good names for the park? Honestly, I would take Yoda Park. I would be happy with Yoda Park. Okay. I just feel like it's awful to have a park named after General Custer. So if you go to Germany, I want you to know there are no parks named after Hitler. If you go to Europe and you want to name a school after Hitler, you cannot do it. Only in the United States can you take someone who is responsible for genocide of people and name a school or a park after them. Is it time to change that standard? Now, if you don't believe this Custer is the same Custer, General Custer, responsible for perpetrating horrors on indigenous people, please Google it. Don't take my word for it. I promise you, if you go to the park's website, it will tell you the park is named after General Armstrong Custer. The number to call in is 503-231-8187. So I want to go back a little bit and share with you some of the things that have happened as our community has grown, in Oregon has grown. There was a time when African Americans were outlawed from the state of Oregon. Most of you know that by now. And after the outlaw was removed, there were all kinds of prohibitions and sundown laws. So sundown laws meant you could come in, you could work, but you had to leave at a certain time. So I want to note that the reason that these laws changed mainly had to do with capitalism. For example, there were trains, and trains were a major way of moving goods in the early 1900s. And Astoria specifically wanted more trains. Portland wanted more trains. It would mean more business. It would mean the community grow. The train companies said, we can't run more trains in Astoria. We can't run more trains in Portland because our porters are black, and the people who lay the track are Chinese and black. So we can't run any more trains in your community because you don't allow minorities and people of color. That's what changed the rules. And so we're gonna need something to make it apparent to Portland Parks that their priorities should be the community's priorities. I have Peter on the line, and I'm interested to hear what Peter has to say. How are you this morning, Peter?
Fine. I'd make a couple of suggestions.
Sure.
One would be Crazy Horse. The chief defeated Custer at Little Bighorn. And another one might be Lakota, which is the name of the band that was massacred at Wounded Knee by the 7th Cavalry, which was also the unit that Custer belonged to.
I like that, Peter. Like I said, just not Custer. Did you know that there was a park named Custer in Portland?
No, I don't know the park named Custer, but...
Okay, so it's in southwest Portland. There are also streets named Custer. And there are a couple of streets named after Custer, but Custer Park is in southwest Portland near those streets, Custer Drive and Custer Street. But what's interesting about it is when we're talking about a park name, we're talking about a choice. When we're talking about a street, we're often talking about choices made 100 years ago. We can still change them, but there's a lot of signage and a lot of tradition and a lot of trials and tribulations in changing that. With Portland Parks, we're talking about a couple signs and a website and a few maps being changed. We're in the digital age, so changing maps is much more efficient than it was in the days where people were drawing them by hand. So we're talking about changing digital maps. We're talking about changing a couple signs, right? Because the park doesn't have 75 signs. I think it's got two that I'm aware of. And then we're talking about giving folks a chance to understand that what once was Custer Park is now another park. So you say Lakota, and what was the other one?
Crazy Horse.
Crazy Horse. I like both of those. Those are in the running. I'm going to put those up on the change.org petition, because I actually put the name of a Black woman, because there aren't any parks named after Black women in Portland.
That was a good idea too.
But you know what? I may even like your idea a little better, because we are nearing a holiday that is a time of mourning for Indigenous people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and this is salt in the wounds. Salt in the wounds. So thank you so much, Peter, for calling in. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Folks, those are two great suggestions. What would you think would be a better name for Custer Park? I said I'm willing to take Yoda. I'm not willing to take the Dark Lord or He Who Shall Not Be Named. Current person in the White House also does not deserve a park named after them in Oregon. Who does deserve a park named after them in Portland? Should it be maybe someone from this community or someone who is Indigenous? Those sound like great ideas to me. I originally proposed a name for the park after Beatrice Morrow Kennedy, who was a woman who started the NAACP here, one of the original founders, and also started a newspaper here in the Northwest. So she seems like a great candidate. We haven't had a park named after a Black woman, so I would be excited about that. I come from both backgrounds. My first name, I am named after an Indigenous matriarch as my first name. My middle name, which is Allison, I am named after an African-American Haitian matriarch, Allison. So wherever I go, I take my name with me. So I always know who I am. And the person that I am is just offended by Custer Park. So that is racism in the park. Why do we have so many parks named after men? Can we get some women involved? 503-231-8188. 503-231-8187. Custer Park in Southwest Portland. By the way, I'm talking about Custer Park and racism in the parks. Do you feel comfortable in the parks based on what they're called, how welcoming they are, how they're managed? Talking about Custer Park right now, but I'm going to flip the script right now and just go to Dawson Park. Dawson Park. Who knows where Dawson Park is? I had no idea the park was even named Dawson Park. It was just a prominent park in North Portland for the African American community. So if you're not familiar with Dawson Park, it's near Emmanuel Legacy. I was just out there last week, and I have to say, it was beautiful. The leaves were falling. It was just beautiful, except for one thing. It was vacant. It was 6 o'clock, and it was vacant, and it was beautiful, and I thought about stopping to take pictures. I didn't take any pictures, and I realized that it was missing the community that had been there before, that when I was growing up in Northeast Portland, it was missing the men on the benches having conversations, playing dominoes. Now, sure, it's getting a little cold. It's getting a little cold, but I've been to Dawson Park many times, and I noticed the gentrification has changed. Who is comfortable at that park? I have Bill on the line. Bill, thank you so much for calling in. Folks, if you want to call in, it's 503-231-8187. We're talking about classism and racism in Portland parks. Bill, what do you have to say?
I think an absolutely wonderful name would be the John Trudell Park.
Okay. Now, I'm not familiar with John Trudell. I have to make a confession, so you're going to have to give me a little background here.
John Trudell was a very well-known Santee Sioux Native American. He was actually one of the characters in the Val Kilmer movie Thunderheart. When you look up his name, he is very well known for his spoken word. And just, you know, give him a very quick look, and I'm sure you'll be a fan of his work almost instantly.
Sure. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate that. So Bill has given us John Trudell and said that John Trudell is a spoken word artist, an indigenous person, and told me to look up a movie called Thunderheart. So I definitely will do that. I have not seen that movie, so I will look that up when I leave. If you want to call in and talk about classism and racism in Portland parks, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Parks are supposed to be welcoming to everyone. Everyone pays taxes to support the Portland parks. Not everyone is welcome in the park. So we've talked about Custer Park, and briefly I was talking about Dawson Park and how that used to be a very vibrant part of the African American community. The old men playing dominoes, the older women laughing, the younger children skipping rope. I went there the past three or four times I went there, and there was very little going on. So clearly, people are being pushed out of parks. Clearly, the community that has taken care of that area for years is gone. There were no indigenous people. There were no black people in that park. What is going on with Portland parks? I have Bill on the line. Bill, what are your thoughts? Oh, I'm sorry. I got the wrong name there. Who do we have on the line here? Art. Art. Thanks for calling in, Art.
I think that to change the name from Custer to a Native American person,
okay,
it's really fitting. It is to have the name Custer replaced with the very opposite,
mm-hmm.
or in that sense. Let's just hope that in the future, Portland parks can become what they've been for decades. Really nice places. How about that?
Okay.
Well, leave you with that.
Thank you so much, Art, for calling in. I appreciate it. So Art doesn't have a suggestion on a specific name, but Art is saying something very important there. He's saying that how about we use an indigenous name? The indigenous community has been here and caretakers for the land for thousands of years. Now all of a sudden we have Portland Parks naming things what they are not called. Let me repeat that, naming things what they are not called. We are on borrowed land, stolen land, and Portland Parks needs to take their priorities from the people. I had a conversation with one of the folks in Nick Fish's office. So if you don't know your commissioners and who's in charge of what, I want to let you know that Nick Fish is the commissioner in charge of the Portland Park system. I have always, up until recently, been a fan of Nick Fish's office. That's changing. I'm just going to be honest. I had no idea how unresponsive the office would be when I called and shared this information about the park. I think they're in the process of hiring an equity manager to maybe explore this. That is not good enough for me. Is it good enough for you? Is the responsibility of a city employee, is it everyone's responsibility to be equitable and fair and listen to constituents and listen to the public, or is it one person's responsibility? Do we have to wait till an equity manager decides that Custer Park is inappropriate? Custer never lived in Portland. He never lived in Oregon. Again, if I'm wrong, call me out. I make errors. Turns out I'm human. You can call me at 503-231-8187. Custer Park, what do you think? What should be the new name for Custer Park? Are you surprised that there's a Custer Park in Portland? Now, it looks like I'm going to take another call here. Maybe you have some suggestions about what the park should be named. Think about it. Write it down. Maybe we should start calling Portland Parks and Nick Fish's office to give him these suggestions. I did send over the petition, which is over 500 people strong. You can find it on change.org, but it didn't resonate. Apparently 500 people saying Custer Park is probably not a good look, did not resonate. Maybe your calls will resonate. Maybe that's a way of doing it. So we have Mike on the line here. Mike, thank you so much for calling in. What did you want to share?
Yeah, maybe not for the park exactly, but
okay.
I've just read a Shoshone historical book, and their name for Yellowstone was the place where God has not
finished creating it. And and you know, they were the Shoshone Bannock snake people, and so our Snake River is named after that whole people too.
Okay.
And so possible you can start to kind of look into, you know, some of the way they look at things, you know, the Indian people, because they saw the creator. You know, it was funny when they came here, the Shoshone pretty much ruled everything from the Blue Mountains, which is the Walla Wallas, you know, into Idaho, and then the Snake and the Deschutes into Oregon, and that was pretty much their land that had been given to them by the creator. And so when they met the Christians who came here, they also felt like this land had been given to them by their creator. And so it was kind of a clash of the religious people.
You know, I've got to stop you there to make a comment that a lot of people don't understand this. So Christians own land. Indigenous people don't own land.
Yes.
So that is a misnomer.
They're caretakers of it.
They're caretakers and stewards of the land. So nomadic people, and I married into a nomadic tribal people, and not from the U.S., but yeah, they don't own land. They're caretakers of the land, and they move on. They're stewards of the land. That's something different than we see with the people who came and colonized this area, and it's one of the reasons that we have so many challenges with classism, because it's all, you know, mine, I own it. We don't own anything, at least in my opinion. Who owns the sky?
Yes, and it's a very, very good point. There's another book that I just kind of finished. It was called Fear and Intolerance in Tillamook County. And it, as far as your racism and classism, that's about as explicit as you can get.
Okay, book recommendation. What is it again? Can you repeat it?
It's called Fear and Intolerance in Tillamook County. And at the time of around 1950, and we got to remember too, the history that we're following is not very old. It's like 150 years old, really.
True.
That we're following here in Oregon, anyway. But anyway, in there was forced sterilization of the Indian tribes. The Ku Klux Klan was pretty much the leading political group around, you know, 1915, 1920.
True.
In Tillamook. So you know, and the laws that were being ruled to actually take the land were, they said that you had to be a Christian race to own land. And again, you're right. It immediately excluded all the nomadic people who didn't believe in ownership. And so
exactly.
That's been a kind of a worldwide policy. And so people really need to kind of understand kind of the Christian roots to a lot of these legal systems too. So, you know, I mean, British and Christian, European,
yeah,
I guess.
I understand. Well, thank you so much for calling in. I will take a look at those books, your suggestions, and I appreciate you giving me information on the Shoshone. Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
So, folks, we're talking about racism and classism in Portland parks. I mean to tell you, folks have been jumping down Chloe Udaly's throat for the city's proposed code changes. Now, those code changes, as I understand it, are to make the system more inclusive. Whether or not you believe that, kudos to them for taking a look at outdated policies and measures. That is something Portland Parks is not doing, or not doing fast enough, or not doing efficiently enough, because we're still dealing with Custer Park, which is offensive, and we have Dawson Park, which used to be just a vibrant community of African American people, and now it's barely used. It's very beautiful, I went there and the leaves were falling. It was beautiful, but I didn't get a sense of community. What is going on with Portland Park's elitist policies driving people of color out of the parks, making them feel uncomfortable to be in spaces that they are more than welcome to be in? That includes Indigenous people. We are on their land. We are their guest. I am also Indigenous, but I'm also part of a group of people who were enslaved here in the U.S. I have another caller on the line. And what, Ed, caller, you there?
Hello.
Hi, your name is?
Hi. My name is Joshua.
Joshua. Thanks for calling in, Joshua.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and my comment, I've been in Portland for 48 years.
48,
and,
wow.
It's just that, and I know that parks should be for everyone. I know it should be equitable. I do think that the name of Custer Park is pretty absurd and should be changed. But my call was just that I have a different memory when I was younger of parks. I would walk around. It was before the bottle bill. The parks oftentimes were dirty. There were people drinking. They had bottles and bags. The old people weren't playing dominoes. They were a little weird. And I think that my point is that parks should be for children first. Too many times now, you know, even now the houseless people, which I have, my heart goes out to them as well. They push away the mothers and the kids and the people, you know, if the old guys are playing dominoes, I love that. But if they are not, if it's kind of odd, it pushes out people. So I do think that choices do need to be made, even though everybody pays for the parks, even though everybody should be able to enjoy the parks. There's nobody there to really police it, and parks should be for the children first.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling in. I just want to give you a little bit of feedback. First of all, it's a struggle to get children over the age of 5 to a park. As a mother who raised a child with technology, I can tell you that we have to formulate new uses for parks. Why? People do not use them the way they do in 1950 or 1960. You used to be able to throw your kids outside the house, go to the park, have fun. That is not what parks are used for today. They're not kids skipping rope. That's what I grew up with. Dawson Park, there were kids skipping rope. We were playing jacks, riding bicycles. Now tell me the last time you saw a child skipping rope anywhere in Portland.
Oh, at my house. I've raised 2 kids.
Oh, okay. In the parks, in the public square, we don't do that anymore. Kids are on technology.
Not so much anymore. Yeah, it was hopscotch and...
Yes, you got it.
Playing ball.
I would love to see what you're saying. I would love to see the kids come back to the park, but I would never exclude the elder people from the park. I love them being there. I want everyone to use the parks. And if we're going to pay taxes for the park, then everyone should have equal access to it. And if we're not going to have equal access to it, let me know, because I will start the petition in the drive to withdraw the funds for the park so we can just limit it to people who are under 18. And then that way, no one who doesn't have children, seniors, will be not be able to use the park. They won't pay any taxes. They'll get a rebate for all the years they've been paying taxes into a system that's not serving them. I want the entire community to be able to use the park. And back to what you said about trash, yeah, there was some mismanagement of Portland parks. I think I'm still seeing it now. You know, but saying it's trash, but I'm seeing mismanagement in other ways. So the bottle bill, which has nothing to do with Portland parks, addressed people's littering issues. I grew up in that time. We had litter commercials. Do you remember those public littering ads? Yeah, people would go down the freeway and the highway, throwing things out the car. Lady Bird Johnson, her first lady campaign was beautification of America's highways. People don't think of littering the way they used to. However, I haven't seen Portland parks update the way that we use the parks and the way people are today. They're still back in like 1954. People.
No, I agree. But I think that in a way, though, a lot of them are cleaner than what I remember. I remember people sniffing paint and everything. It was a dangerous time back when I was younger, a lot of times, to go to the park. I probably, maybe even the ones in Northeast were better than the ones here in Southeast where I was.
Okay.
At Preston Park.
But what made the change? Do you think that it was Portland Parks management of the park that made the change? I heard you credit the bottle bill. You would be correct that the bottle bill helped cleaned up the parks.
Yeah, I think
do you think taxpayer resources helped clean up the parks?
I think it did.
Yeah. But none of those things.
You know, I don't want to push everyone out. And one other idea that I have is kind of crazy is to have maybe an adult park with huge swing sets, huge teeter totters, big stuff that larger people could go and do the same thing that kids would love to do in a park.
Well, I'll tell you something. We were talking about classism and racism, but let me just go ahead and go all the way here and talk about ableism. When's the last time you saw a park that a child in a wheelchair could use the swing set? Where are the parks that children can actually use? Now, I do believe in Northeast Portland, the new park, and I can't think of the name of it right now, but it's right near Gateway, has a wheelchair accessible park. And that's great. But if you go to any of the other parks, bingo, it's like you're in Mad Men, you're back in 1950-something. It's not accessible for wheelchairs. It's not accessible for children who have special needs. It's not accessible for most people to get to the park. Do I feel safe in the parks today? Pretty much, yeah, I feel safe in the parks today. No credit to Portland Park Systems. I have to say that they're cleaner than they have been in the past due to the bottle bill, to the resources that
People pick up after their
that's
their
right
mess more. They didn't used to do that.
No, it was okay to throw things out, and it was never okay, you know what I'm saying? But people respect communal space. Now we have loneliness. People should be walking in the parks.
You're right. I don't understand why they're both cleaner and then not used as much. And I also
they're not welcoming.
Why they're more likely, and I love pets, but why they're more likely now to have a dog run than you're right to have like a swing that somebody in a who's disabled could use.
Exactly.
I think we need that.
We need communal spaces where there is no cost to go use the space. Like public libraries are a success story. They were diminishing and then millennials brought them back. There are no public spaces that you can be for free except the library and the parks. I would like to see the parks more accessible. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. So, Custer Park, we're back to talking about Dawson Park, because Dawson Park used to be a very lively park. It's right across from Emmanuel Legacy. Again, elderly people with playing the dominoes, kids, you know, skating. Now it's very beautiful. There's no community there. Why? Because Portland Parks and their rules and their gentrification have driven the African-American community out of that park. Am I wrong? Explain it to me. I'm there 3 or 4 times a month. Where's my community? I don't see them anymore. Certainly not any indigenous people there. I got someone on the line here. Caller.
Howdy.
Hi.
Just a quick little idea for a Custer Park.
Okay.
Which also incorporate a little bit of Portland history and also honor people of color would be to call it Vanport Park.
Ooh. Vanport Park. See, I never even thought of that. That's a good one. Yeah, so if you're not familiar with Vanport, folks, look it up. It was a primarily African-American community that was wiped out by flooding. Was it on Columbus Day?
That was the Columbus Day storm.
Okay.
But it was. I can't remember the exact date. I think it was like sometime in May, but I couldn't.
It was a holiday. It was a holiday weekend. Now, I should know this. Lack of coffee.
The dike failed, and it was like underwater within 10 to 15 minutes.
Exactly. So that displaced a lot of African-Americans and a very rich community.
At that time, Vanport was the second largest city in Oregon.
That is a great idea.
They don't teach that in schools anymore. Nobody, no young children today have ever even heard of Vanport. So it would be a nice way to get that out in the community and honor the people that lost everything at the time. And anyway, just a suggestion.
I like that one. I'm writing all this down. And if you want to call Nick Fish's office, I wouldn't be mad at you. You know, I would not be okay. mad at anybody who wanted to call Nick Fish's office and help the office set their priorities on parks, because I think they have their own priorities. So thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. So folks, we've got some great suggestions for the name, the renaming of Custer Park. We have something related to the Snake River, the Shoshone tribes. We also have Vanport. We have John Trudell Park. So the theme seems to be going along the line of indigenous people. I actually like that, or people of color with Vanport. So we're talking about Custer Park and why that is just racist. Why is Portland Parks living in the 1950s? Has Portland changed since the 1950s? Yes. Have the parks changed through the 1950s? Not as much as they need to. The parks are not accessible for children with special needs. They really aren't. There's a new one over in Northeast Portland. The layout is just beautiful. It's at Gateway, and I should probably look up the name of the park, but I've forgotten the name momentarily. But it's a beautiful park. It is accessible. I'm really excited about that. And we have another caller on the line. Thank you, caller. Oh, we lost them. We lost them. So maybe they'll give me a quick call back. If you want to call in and talk about classism and racism in Portland parks, the number is 503-231-8187. I've heard from staff at Nick Fish's office, who's responsible for maintaining the parks, that the reason the name change from Custer Park is not going to happen post-haste is they're going to hire an equity manager that's going to look at that. I'm offended. Straight up. It's everyone in Nick Fish's office. It's every one of their jobs to manage the parks, to make them equitable for everyone. I mean, the 5-month-old, the 50-year-old, and the 105-year-old. If they don't know that, please call them and let them know that. Please call them and let them know that. Okay, so Mike just called in, and he didn't have time to be on the air with us, but he wanted to suggest Rainbow Park. That's another idea. I kind of like that. It's kind of got a 1960s vibe to it, but it also, rainbows are a symbol of strength coming back after a disaster. And it's also a symbol in the LGBTQ community, rainbow. So I put that on the list. So I have Sarah on the line. Sarah, which do I know you, Sarah? Which Sarah am I talking to?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I know lots of Sarahs. Okay, so okay, Sarah, what did you want to share with us this morning?
Well, I'm calling because, like, personally, I've lived in Portland since 2012, and I've slowly been gentrified from, you know, the middle of downtown all the way out to past 205. And every time that, you know, our rent goes up and we have to move, we move farther and farther away from nice, accessible parks. And so it's
of course
like, you
do, Sarah.
I was in Cauley, and then I couldn't afford the rent anymore, so I moved out here, and now Cauley has, like, that gorgeous new totally accessible park.
Oh, is this it? Is Cauley has in. Accessible parks? Can the children in the wheelchair hook up and get on the swings?
Yeah. It's one of the brand new ones with the bridges, and they can go up the bridge and then down the slide and up to the top of, like, the climbing structure and stuff. It's all accessible.
So that's two that I know about now. So I'm going to give a shout-out to Portland Parks for making Cully Park accessible, and for the new one at Gateway. But I'm still going to give you a thumbs down on the rest of the parks living in 1950 and 1960. So what is the park like you near you? What is that like?
Well, so that's one thing. We have we're right by the park that is on Powell, right past 205. And that one, it has a really nice skate park, it has a playground, and then there's another little playground area for the little kids.
Okay.
And about 2 years ago, they put a big old fence around it because it started falling apart. And it's been 2 years sitting there, like, surrounded in a fence. I used to take my toddler there to play. We can't go there to play anymore. The big kid playground is not really accessible to them because they're little. And then I watch as, like, all these other parks in the parts of town that I got pushed out of get built, these, like, big, beautiful, accessible, brand-new parks, And then over here where I got pushed down to, they're just, that fence just sits there for 2 whole years, and
okay,
there's no movement on getting that playground fixed.
So what you're saying is the money is in certain areas that have been gentrified, and then other parts of the community are not being served adequately. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. So I'm driving my kiddos all the way up to, you know, North Portland, Northeast Portland, like the nice brand new parks, because the one by us, they're not able to play. It's fenced in.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about this in connection to Dawson Park and why Dawson Park is empty. I think I figured it out. So this was also true in the East Coast, on the East Coast, where I lived for a certain amount of time. So I lived in Chevy Chase. And this was when I was married and I had Chevy Chase money. And so I want to say, I don't have Chevy Chase money. And we were kind of the odd couple because we were both, you know, people of color. And I married an immigrant. And so we were starting out. Most of the people were moneyed. They weren't starting out, and there were no children. They were starting to become grandparents. So the people who could afford the million-dollar houses were grandparents. They didn't have two-year-olds. They didn't have infants. You had to take your child out of the area you lived into to go pay to go to a playground or a play space so your child could see other children. The first time I took my child to a mall play space where my ex-husband was convinced I shouldn't take my child, but I took him there. My son sat down and stared. He was like 9 months. He was like, I don't even know what to do with these other infants, because he had not been in a communal space. There's something wrong with that. We need our children to be able to see children in their community. You deserve a park that serves you and your community. Why must you get in the car and drive? How long do you have to drive to get to the new park?
Yeah, so if I mean, I'm not too terribly far from the one that you were talking about, Gateway Discovery, but even that one, it's not walkable or bikeable. I'm driving at least 15 minutes to get up there.
Okay. So you got to drive 15 minutes, pack the kid up in the car, spend gas money, and somehow Portland Parks thinks they're being equitable. I look at Dawson Park, which used to be vibrant, teeming with kids, skip rope, playing on the ground, looking at rocks, looking at leaves, just doing nothing, breathing air. There's no one there. There's no one there because to live in that neighborhood, now you have to have a certain amount of money. To have a certain amount of money, you might not have 3 children anymore. You might have to be someone who's worked 20 years already. You might not just be starting out with your young family. So who did we make the park for? What's
and
the park for?
Exactly what you're talking about. When I go to like the nice neighborhood, there's Wilshire Park. They have a really nice area for little tiny kiddos, which is hard to find. Most of the playgrounds are for older kids.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go I drive all the way up there to Northeast Portland from out here in Outer East, and the people I see there are their nannies or their grandparents, but they're little tiny
kids. There you
go. Because all the people who live there are working. They're busy being able to afford to live in that neighborhood with the nice park.
Chevy
so they're not at the park.
Chevy Chase problems. That was the problem. I got in my car, drove someplace else. There were nights I came home from work, like 7 o'clock, I'll admit it, picked up my toddler, and after I left from Chevy Chase, I moved into an area in North Potomac. So North Potomac is right next to Potomac. And Potomac is the most expensive you can get. And so I would just drive to a nearby Chuck E. Cheese just to let my son see some children that he could play with. And so it's happening here with gentrification. It's happening. We're all paying taxes for these parks that are supposed to be accessible, and yet they're becoming museums and totems to gentrification and whatever you want to call it. So thank you so much for calling in and providing that perspective. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
Folks, the number to call in is 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. 1-877-207-1187. We're talking about classism and racism in Portland parks. I want to share with you something else. We've been talking about Custer Park and how that makes me and my family feel othered, as well as being a very negative experience for the indigenous community here in Portland. Remember, this is stolen land. We are all guests of indigenous people, but yet indigenous people are made to feel like outsiders. Custer Park should not be a thing. General Armstrong Custer was a racist. He was responsible for genocide, participating in genocide, and I have no idea how his name ended up on a park in Southwest Portland. There are streets that also bear that name. What is a better name for Custer Park? And more importantly, how do we prioritize Portland parks knowing what our priorities are? I say that because they shouldn't have any priorities that are not given to them by the people. Am I wrong here? Am I just full of it? But if we're paying the taxes, the government, that's actually us. I know it feels bad to say that, doesn't it? Because we don't feel like we're the government. We don't feel like they're working on our behalf. Do you feel like Portland Parks is working for your community? Is it working for the African American community? Call in. If you're an African American, call in. We've got just a few minutes left, but call in and let me know if the parks feel welcoming to you, because they don't feel welcoming to my Mexican, Arabic, indigenous, black family. We don't feel welcome. Comments are made about going back. Comments are made about all sorts of things, but yet we are having conversations about city of code, the city making code changes in neighborhood associations. That's a heated discussion. Yet the gentrification of Portland parks, the what I would call mismanagement of Portland parks, because we're back in the 1950s and the 1960s with this equipment that doesn't serve the needs of our current members of society, and I mean from 1 to 100 with all different abilities. When are we going to get parks that are accessible to wheelchairs? When are we going to get parks that are accessible to children to swing? When is that going to happen? I also want to talk about some current rules that are going into place where you will need some kind of license and insurance to share food with folks in the park. So food justice. So Mike is on the line. We've sure had a lot of Mikes today. Mike, this is Rochelle. What are your thoughts?
Hi, Rochelle. You're just touching on an important point. We are the government, and we are the parks, and we are what we eat and all that good stuff. I'm glad you got onto that subject, because that's something that I didn't know if I was going to call or not, but with that emphasis, I thought it was important to call in. I just read on the internet, of course, Portland's going to be laying off 50 people from the Parks Department.
Mm-hmm.
So because of just citywide budget cuts, and it's just one of the things on the chopping block they whittle away at. There's a handful of other departments as well, but again, we are, you know, if we want to support it, we can have our own initiative. And maybe that organization on before your show, McKenzie River Development Group or whatever, they can help, and we can all help and get something on the ballot to just have a separate fund or a separate thing in the, on the ballot to raise funds for it.
But here's the thing.
The organizations can just go ahead and do some education and do some outreach and organize events that bring people in.
Sure.
So much we have to do ourselves.
Mike, I appreciate you calling. I want to ask you a question. Do you think that people who don't feel comfortable in the parks want to pay additional funds for supporting the parks? So there's a woman, she can't use her neighborhood mm-hmm. park because her child is too small.
That's real,
fenced off the park that was a skate park, and it's kind of dilapidated, and the only part that is usable is for older children. So she drives to another park. Do you think that she's willing to pay more for her current park system?
Well, Chicken, well, yeah, that's a real,
no.
real issue, of course. It's a real issue.
No, she's not. And, I'm just going right, to speak for her here. She's not willing to pay more for a system that doesn't work for her. Now, if you tell her you're going to put a park in her neighborhood that she can use and doesn't have to drive 15 minutes to 15 minutes there, 15 minutes back, that's a half an hour out of a busy mother's life, you know. And so I believe people will pay for what they use. Part of
what
the reason
if there was a once a week event that was family friendly.
I think everybody would like that. I would see that as being
everyone
a,
would
a benefit.
And the city would too. I think. I think the city's on board with all this stuff. It's just can they do? I mean, yeah, the hiring one person to oversee diversity. I mean,
exactly. You know, like, does she have a magic wand?
They should put someone as an organizer to get these things going with people and neighborhood associations and organizations, and that, I think that's where the emphasis is. That'll encourage people, and that'll bring people in and back in. There's the good in the hood and peninsula and this and that, and it's a wonderful event.
Yeah, I love the good in the hood. I participated and marched in the good in the hood with Multnomah County Democrats, but I know that people will pay for what they use. When they tend to not use it,
sure.
they say it's not valuable. I don't want to pay for the library. I don't
right.
use it. And as soon as they start finding out what the library has, oh, you can do ebooks now at the library. Oh, they have a maker space for children. Oh, the library is booming now. Well, Parks is going to continue to lose funding for the reasons that we're talking
right.
about. They're not serving the public adequately, and they need to listen to what the public wants. Cut out the programs that the public is not using and get rid of the waste. Did you see the picture in the newspaper of all the printed paraphernalia, the books that they printed to hand out to use the parks?
They're sitting in dumped. A pile because they weren't being delivered, yeah.
Yeah, they're dumped. They weren't used. Well, put out programs that people want.
Right.
And
right.
they'll come. They'll pay the tax money. Otherwise, you'll be dumping books, and you'll see less and less people using the parks. They're becoming elitist. Thank you so much for calling in. So I've got just a few minutes left today, and I want to end it with this subject and let you know a couple things that you can do to get involved. First of all, talked about Custer Park, the naming of Custer Park, talked about the racist origins of Custer Park. I've mentioned Dawson Park and how it's been gentrified and the African Americans are nowhere to be seen. And in fact, no one's there at the park generally when I go. And I go about four times a month, and sometimes a little more than that. My office space is not too far down. I don't see equity in the parks. I don't see the wealth of services being offered in the park that would attract younger people, skate parties. What do we need to get people back using the parks? Why don't people feel comfortable in the parks? Call Nick Fish's office. Give him your opinion. That's what I'm asking you to do. Something is wrong here. Are you paying taxes? Are you a citizen of Portland? Are you a citizen of the state? Do you feel like it's equitable to name parks after genocidal folks who never lived in Oregon? Number two, what about gentrification? What about ableism? Should we have more accessibility for folks who have been driven from communities and are out in other areas that don't have parks they can use? Now, when I say gentrification, I'm talking about people of color, but let's face it, there are a lot of people who are under service right now that are also just lower income. We're talking classism here. Portland Parks is instituting a policy. You will no longer be able to feed the houseless in the parks. Nobody's using the parks anyway. The kids are pretty much inside using devices because the programs are not attracting the base that they have in the past. That's partially just because of the dynamics with electronics and how attractive they are. But what could we do to get community out using the parks? Portland Parks has to have better solutions that are community driven, not driven from inside of their offices. Please help them set their priorities by giving Nick Fish's office a call and letting them know what you want the parks to be used for. How do you think they would be best implemented? Do you have parks that are accessible to children with disabilities? Do you have spaces for the elderly to be able to walk clearly and well-defined, well-lit spaces? Share that information with them, please. I'm asking you to do that. And lastly, I'm going to leave you some food for thought. There's not going to be any more food sharing in the parks. It's a no-no. You cannot serve soup, sandwiches, or anything in the park to people who may not have homes or who are just hungry. What do you think about that? They can't use the parks anymore to share food? Can we still even have a picnic, or is that going to be outlawed next? Call Nick Fish's office. Give him your thoughts. Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it. I appreciate all your calls. This is KBOO and Rochelle Dixon. Bye-bye.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Requiem for a Rogue, Portland debut and benefit on Saturday, November 30th from 9 p.m. to midnight at the Atlantis Lounge in Portland. This is the Portland debut of Dan Kaufman's band's Modern Western Opera and a benefit to stop a fossil fuel pipeline in Oregon. Requiem for the Rogue tells the fictional story of a southern Oregon landowner who runs afoul of a modern-day Sheriff of Nottingham, who is in cahoots with a fossil fuel pipeline company. Again, that's Requiem for the Rogue, Portland debut and benefit on Saturday, November 30th, from 9 p.m. to midnight at the Atlantis Lounge at Mississippi Pizza, 3552 North Mississippi Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. You don't own the water.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of It's a Wonderful Life on Saturday, December 7th from 8 to 10:30 p.m. at the Old Church Concert Hall in Portland. Fake Radio reenacts the historic radio shows the old-fashioned way, dressed in period clothing and standing with scripts in hand in front of old microphones. They'll recreate the 1947 broadcast of Lux Radio Theater's It's a Wonderful Life, including the commercials and announcements. Again, that's It's a Wonderful Life on Saturday, December 7th from 8 to 10:30 p.m. at the Old Church Concert Hall, 1422 Southwest 11th Avenue in Portland. Again, that's It's a Wonderful Life on Saturday, December 7th from 8 to 10:30 p.m. at the Old Church Concert Hall, 1422 Southwest 11th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is now 10 a.m. Up next is Flashpoints.
From the studios of